It's nice to be among friends. I heard that this has nothing to do with what I was going to say, but I heard this phrase the other day about how we are so very familiar with the God we hardly know. So hopefully this will help us to just take a little step to get to know him a little bit more. So I call this the Church Unboxed. Now, this is not your comfortable pastoral word. No, that would be my husband. And I would say fasten your seatbelts, but actually we're going to take a walk, if you'd like to come with me, back to the year BC 601 with Jeremiah. So chapter 18 of Jeremiah. If you want to look it up, we will mainly be here. Chapter 18 in the book of Jeremiah, starting at the beginning. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. I will leave it there for the moment. So this is God's word to the young prophet who is learning to hear God's voice. And I want to drill down a little bit into the meaning of some of these words to understand the force of what's actually going on here. So the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Did I hear him or did I not? It was a little bit of a nudge. I'm not very sure. No, it wasn't like that at all. This is an emphatic word. The word actually means beacon. So my translation is, this is a light bulb moment for Jeremiah. So, dong, listen. So the word came to Jeremiah from Yahweh, saying. Now, was God just mentioning something? Was he just suggesting this? Was it, well, maybe a possible option I'm just offering you? No, the word came as a meaning, a forceful change. Declaring, determining, to speak plainly. So this is an important word. All right, light bulb moment. I've got something very clear to say to you. And as an aside, but perhaps important, when God speaks to us, it is designed to bring change. It requires a response. It's either like wallpaper, you think, oh, that's nice. Oh, yes, I'll just put this up here. That's good. And actually, it becomes like wallpaper. Or I see it a bit like a train. Here comes the word of God, jump on, because it's going somewhere. There's a momentum in God's word, a momentum about what he's going to say. And this is how it is as he speaks to us and as he's speaking to Jeremiah. Verse 2, the word in the original isn't actually in my Bible, but the thing he says to Jeremiah is, arise. Okay? Accomplish something. Get up or rear up, arouse yourself, stir up. That's what the word means. So don't just sit there. This word is taking you somewhere. Get up and go with me. So let's go with him to the potter's house. And there I'll announce my word. So he's got two words. The word is, it came to Jeremiah to tell him where to go. And then the second word is coming to him, which is the main thing he's going to be saying. So go to the potter's house. Okay, I hope you don't mind word study, but this is how it is this morning. There isn't a word for potter in Hebrew. This is a verb, and it means to mold, or to squeeze into shape, to fashion, to form for a purpose. And if we were going to translate the word, it would be molder. That's not a very nice word, so they put in potter. So go to the potter's house. Now, in Jeremiah's day, pottery was vital for life. It was not your fine ceramics that you might read about on the website of Aston Potteries. You buy a nice pot, and you put it on the mantelpiece or something like that. It was basic earthenware, essential for carrying, essential for storing. Everyone had pots. They were ordinary, everyday items, not ornaments like we might have or like we might give to other people, which are nice things just to look at. God does not fashion ornaments, but he shapes us for a purpose. Turn to the person next to you and say, I am not an ornament in the house of God. So, verse 4, but the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. This, of course, refers to Israel. They were chosen. God had formed them for his purposes into a nation that he wanted them to be, but they spoiled themselves. The word marred means corrupted. They became corrupt. They deviated from the shape God intended them to be. They went their own way and therefore couldn't fulfill the purpose they were made for. So the potter intervenes. That's no good, he says. That's not right. So he slaps down the clay and begins to reform it. Have you ever felt slapped down by God? I don't mean by people or by circumstances, though God can use those, but actually just slapped down by God. You know, you think, well, everything's okay, really, and then you suddenly have a conviction of the Holy Spirit, and you go, gosh, that wasn't okay. What I said there wasn't okay. What I did, and the way I did it, that wasn't okay. My attitude is not okay. And God slaps you down. And how does that feel? It's not very comfortable. Ephesians 2:10 tells us we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that he's prepared in advance for us to do. So if you're a craftsman, I'm thinking of Adrian, you know, you're making something beautiful out of wood, or you're sewing something, you're knitting, you're crafting in some way, you're not just making a thing. God wasn't just making a thing. He didn't just make things. There's that kind of relationship with the thing that you make. Because you spend time with it, part of yourself is in that. And there's a sort of bonding almost between you and the thing. And so it was with the potter. And so it is with his intervention and his slapping down, his reforming of us is out of love and mercy because of the relationship, because of the bonding he has with us. Israel broke the covenant. God did not. That is why he wanted to restore them. And when it's hard, when it feels uncomfortable, we can remember that he is the covenanting potter who is fathering us into the shape he wants us to be. Verse 4 literally reads, the potter again made another vessel. And this is the whole sense of turning back, going back to the starting point, going back to square one with God. It's got the sense of recovering, refreshing, rescuing, restoring. So he offers us a fresh start again and again and again. But it's easy to think that this is all about my purpose. God is going to sort me out so that I can get on with what I am doing and my purpose in life. But that's upside down thinking. Actually, it's all about us being part of his purposes. And I love the way Isaiah says this in chapter 29, verse 16. Isaiah says, you turn things upside down, as if the potter were thought to be like the clay. So I might think, well, God needs to fit in to the way I am thinking and according to what I want to do. Isaiah says, shall what is formed say to him who formed it, he did not make me? Because if he didn't really make me, then I get to do what I like. Can the pot say of the potter, he knows nothing? Like Moses, Lord, you don't really understand. I can't really speak very well. I never have been able to speak well. I can't speak well now. You don't really get this, do you? What you're asking me to do is too big for me to handle. But actually God formed him and he knew what he was doing. So a few weeks ago, I was thinking about this passage, which has provoked me to speak about it this morning. And I realized that if I'm the clay and he's the potter, I have no right to define myself. I have no right to say, I can't do that, but I can do that. I've got no right to say, I will do this, but I won't do that. No way. I've got no right to say, that's not my gifting. I've got no right to say, that's not my personality. And it's very easy for us to box ourselves in and to become identified with our gifting, or dare I say it, even our calling, and how we perceive ourselves. And it's easy to become identified with our containment, to draw parameters around ourselves in which we feel comfortable. And I know some of you will be thinking, ah, yes, but we do have different gifts, and I definitely could not do that. Mark once made me do the household finances for a year. I mean, honestly, it took me a whole evening to do what he could do in 10 minutes. Did I learn? No. Not my gifting. So, you know, I get that. And there's a validity to that. But can we put that to the side and see this side of it this morning? I realized that I have got boxed in certain ways of thinking. It's easy to say, you know, this is how I've always been, therefore this is how I will always be. This is how I do this, because this is how I've always done it. This is how I pray. God is showing me a different way to pray. This is how I worship, whatever your way is, you know. But I haven't a right to say I only worship that way. Or I might say, this is how I relate to people. This is how I spend time with God. And I thought, am I calling the shots in my relationship with God? You know, okay, God, I'm going to do this. I'm going to sit down and read this, and then I'm going to pray, and then, excuse me? And I just think I need to leave space for God to initiate, to do what he wants to do in my relationship and let him lead it. Do I feel guilty if I don't spend time with God in a certain way? That's religion. That has to go. So have I defined myself, or will I come to God afresh and say, dangerous prayer, slap me down? There are bits that are marred. Will you define me? You see, Israel didn't want to change. Have you ever thought why the major prophets are so long? Because they had to say the same thing over and over and over again because they didn't actually want to hear it. And to be honest, let's face it, most of us don't like change. It's not something we readily embrace. Sometimes we're desperate for change, but usually because we want them to change, or we want those circumstances to change. But when God puts his finger on us, on me, am I like a rigid pot that's baked hard and I can't change? Or am I still on the wheel? Am I still malleable? See, we've all prayed those prayers, Lord, I give you everything. I yield myself to you. We've probably prayed them lots and lots of times. So we've given him our yes. Therefore, I have no right to say no. And I'm not saying we should go around like headless chickens and fill every gap that is available for us to do things. It's not about that. But it's about what God is saying to us. I don't have a no. that God has asked me to do something. So we've talked about God's word, the importance of it, the speed of it sometimes, the momentum of it, containment, being boxed in, being malleable, the relationship between the potter and the clay. I can ask you a random question. What do you think is the main characteristic of the kingdom of God? Any thoughts? Okay. Okay. Not what I had down, but never mind. They're all valid answers. What I wanted to say was the kingdom of God grows. That's what it always does. Okay, how do we know that? Isaiah 9 verse 7 tells us, doesn't it? Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Okay, so the kingdom of God always grows. So where is it? Where is the kingdom of God? Okay, good. I was going to say, you know, is it in Whitney High Street? Is it in the nations? Is it in the churches? Is it in Westminster? Is it in this room? It could be all of those places. Is it here? Is the kingdom of God growing in me? 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of God, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory. That's a literal translation. From glory to glory. Am I going from glory to glory? And you know what? I love that word transformed. It's metamorphoso. We get to morph. Same material, different shape. Am I the same as I was last year, last month? Are we as a group of believers going from glory to glory? See, some of us get stuck in the past glory. That was really good then. Do you remember? Remember those meetings? Remember those miracles? I've seen legs grow. You know, that was great. Loved it. Or last month, those meetings. Or that thing that happened last week. That was great. But that's the past. You see, we're going from glory to glory. But sometimes we get stuck in the two. You know, we're thinking about the past and we haven't quite got there yet. And God wants to move us from the two into the next glory. Can't live in the past. So how am I going to get from glory to glory? How are we going to get from glory to glory? If you go back to the 2 Corinthians passage, it's about with unveiled face, beholding him as in a mirror, we are transformed into the glory of God, from glory to glory. And it comes back to that relationship between the pot and the clay. You see, if you're making something, and those of you who are crafty people, you've got to look at what you're making. There's no point in me sewing a quilt and looking over here, is there? Or Adrian with his planing and looking somewhere else. The focus of the potter is totally on the pot. And I get this feeling, if I'm just being a little pot, I am looking up at the one who is forming me. And that's the picture here. Beholding him, and that is how we are transformed from glory to glory. All the potter needs is a soft piece of clay. All he needs is malleable people, individually and corporately, who will let him be intimate, put his hands on them, put his finger on them, and who will embrace the slapping down of God to form and reform us for his purposes. Amen.